Are you a rural farming woman, wife or mother, struggling to find peace in your busy life? Do you find yourself trying to squeeze joy out of your daily routine, manage stress that seems never ending, and somehow reconnect with your passions in the midst of it all? Do you love your rural life, yet often feel overwhelmed by the challenges it brings? Welcome to Cultivate Contentment, the podcast designed just for you. I'm Jessica Knight, a fellow rural woman, wife and mother, and I get it. I've been there. Right there in the trenches, juggling the demands of farm life, motherhood, and carving out moments to take care of myself. Come along with me and my guests as we explore balancing farm life with personal needs on a realistic level. Practical ways to sprinkle a little joy and peace into your daily routine, nurturing relationships without losing your sense of self, and how to keep stress at bay and prevent burnout, all while staying focused on what we really want, feeling content and settled in our lives. So whether you're savoring a cup of coffee before the morning chaos begins, stealing a moment of quiet on your drive to town, or popping in your earbuds while wrestling with laundry and dishes, I invite you to join me. Let's laugh, learn, and cultivate contentment together. Hello, and welcome back to Cultivate Contentment. This is Jess, as always, and I'm excited to be joined by a guest today. Today, I'm joined by Hayley, who is a money coach dedicated to helping farmers open up the flow of money into their business and lives through transforming their relationships with money and cultivating a resilient money mindset. She is a farm business owner alongside her husband and has nearly a decade of experience coaching farmers. In 2019, she created the Abundant Farmer Program after seeing a high correlation between the way farmers related to money and their financial situation. Hayley works with farmers beyond the numbers, improving their financial well-being, building their financial resilience, and supporting them to feel confident and excited about money. So, welcome, Hayley.
So good to be here, Jess. Thanks for having me.
We'll dive straight in. Can you tell us about yourself, your family, your operation?
Perfect. So, I farm alongside my husband, like you mentioned, and we live in the Wimmera region of Victoria towards the South Australian border. We have three boys who are all really keen on farming, and we have a mixed farming enterprise. So majority of our operation is cropping, and then we have a little bit of sheep as well.
I love that all your boys are into farming, because I've got two who just go, yeah, nope, not for me. I'm hoping as they get a little bit older, they might get more involved. But at the moment, they're just like, nah, not for me, Mum.
Yes, our boys have been very much farm boys right from the get-go. Our oldest is 16 and our youngest is 4, and he seems to be just as keen on farming as what the older boys are too.
Oh, I love it. So I guess the starting point is money mindset. What is it? And how did you end up as a money mindset coach?
Yeah, so great question. So money mindset is basically the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we speak about money. And it kind of cultivates into what our general attitude is around money. So every single person has their own money mindset that they're carrying around, their own perspective. And this really influences the way that we see money and also the way that money shows up into our lives.
Okay. So it's all about money. And I love that because I think when people think money, they just think budgets and cash flow. And there's so yes. much more to it than that. So
yes.
How did you end up as a money mindset coach? Was it your own farming journey that led you to this?
Yeah. So when we started farming from scratch probably around 16 years ago, and I was trained in accounting, I was trained in business. I was a property valuer before we come into our farming business. I was also an accountant as well. So I was very well versed around the numbers. But when we started our own farming business, we split off from my husband's family farm and kind of went it alone. So when we come into our farming business, I thought, great, like this is fantastic. I'm really well versed in business. I feel like I know what I'm doing. I feel like I've got a good handle on our numbers. I'm budgeting really well. But what I found was that even though I had a handle on our numbers, it didn't mean that things ran smoothly with money. And it didn't mean that money actually flowed in the way that we wanted to. So it was really weird because I felt like we were just doing everything that we could. We were ticking all the boxes that we're supposed to do around money in business and life, but it wasn't correlating with the money that we were making off the farm. Like it felt like something was missing. It was like we were taking two steps forward, one step back. And no matter what we did, we couldn't break the cycle of, I suppose, not so much the lack of money, but it was like we just get ahead and then something unexpected would happen to come and bring us back to the same level. So it was like we knew what we needed to do. And for us, we needed to scale because quite a lot of our business when we first started was lease. So we had very low equity. So everything was poised around cash flow. So we were very much stuck in this cycle of we need to scale, but we don't have the cash flow, but we need to scale to get the cash flow. And it was that chicken and egg thing. So everything revolved around money. And so like it was, we felt like money was the thing that was holding us back. And so like, I'm very curious at heart. So I was like, something's missing, something's amiss. What is this? And it wasn't until probably about nearly 10 years into our farming journey, nearly, that I actually was around a mentor who was presenting around money mindset. And all of a sudden, kind of, you know how you have that light bulb moment, and it was like the penny really dropped. And I was like, ah, this is what we're missing. Like, we're missing actually how we feel about money and the relationship that we have with it. So we were expecting that, like, based on what we were doing with money in our farming business, we were like, oh, that's just what, you know, that's just how you make money. But in actual fact, what we realized is that the way we thought about money was actually completely amiss. So it was like our goals and what we were doing with money was going in one direction, and our mindset was pulling away from that because we didn't have a great relationship with money. We spent a lot of time in worry and stress around money because cash flow was always the thing. Yeah, there was no peace around money whatsoever, and we didn't trust its flow. So we had all of this blockage going on within our mind, and so there just was creating this disconnect. So the moment we kind of worked that out and then started working on our mindset, everything started to change and opportunities opened up in our business. So at that stage, we were farming, I think, 1,300 acres, so very small. Now, today, we're doing over 5,000 because our mindset now is aligned with our business. That was kind of the story of how we got there. And then I was in coaching anyway, but what I found is that I really enjoyed the money side. Like, I really enjoyed when people had a breakthrough around money because it's the single thing where, I suppose, cracks show through. So if we can kind of tackle the money thing and we are able to find, allow farmers to find peace with money, then what happened is there was a ripple effect that happened to other areas of life. I felt like I had a lot to give in that space. So I seemed to be able to have a way of being able to sit with farmers and listen to what they were saying and understand their mindset and then understand what were the things that were actually holding them back, because our cash flow budget and our cash flow forecast become a side effect to our mindset because we only see the numbers the way that we want to see them based on the mindset that we have behind it. If we sit down and we're in fear and stress, then what will happen is we'll see challenges, problems, issues in our budget. If we sit down with a really open-minded, what we call an abundance mindset, where we know that there's an infinite amount of money, it's just how we tap into it, then we can see opportunities. So I just felt like in my space of coaching that there was so much in farming that relied on money, and it was a constant pressure that if I could help farmers kind of debunk that and get peace, then that'd be amazing. So that's kind of how I landed here, I suppose. Sorry, that was very long-winded.
No, that's great. And so when you find farmers that come and work with you, what are the things that they're struggling with the most? Like, what are they seeing in their business, in their relationships, in their lifestyle that's prompted them to go, yeah, this isn't working and we need to change how we feel about money?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is that they come to me because they know they have an issue with money. It's like they can feel it. All of them are doing their numbers, like they're all doing the thing. So they're doing what they're told, but they just, same as what I did, they have this missing piece. But they also know that like money's the thing that's keeping them awake at night. they get worried and stressed about it. They're very much in a lack space where they feel like if they don't have it or if they spend it on something, then they won't have it back again. So it's very much they sit in a scarcity place, but they just know that they want to grow their relationship with money. They know that it's a problem. They know that it's holding them back. That's like most of the people who come to me are experiencing, like I said, they know their numbers, but they just know that they just don't have a great relationship and they want to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. And I think we see this too, like you get it a lot where, especially like generational farms where it's passed down and the kids go, mum and dad just always seem to be stressed about money, because you do hear that a lot from kids that go, I don't want to go back to the farm because I don't want to have that life. They said, it's not the farming side of life. I love that side of it, but I saw how stressed and that it made my parents all the time. Are you seeing a shift in the generations around money mindset, or is the younger generation impacting and influencing their older generation?
I think there's a little bit of a combination of both, and I can completely get where you're coming from, because when I grew up on the farm, I experienced the same. There was a lot of stress and a lot of worry about the farm. And I remember as a child, like as a teenager, I made the decision. I was like, I'm not coming back to the farm and I'm never marrying a farmer. And I don't want this same stress and lifestyle. And it's interesting because I put myself back in that same lifestyle. I married a farmer and then I put myself in a situation where we started our own business. So it's really interesting because there's so much conditioning that comes from that. So underlyingly, I didn't know that there was conditioning that existed because I was running away from it, or I was getting, you know, trying to avoid it in the future. But our nervous system has a way, and our minds have a way of being able to have this set point that's created as children around money. We've got multi-generations that are running on different, let's call it conditioning around money. So a lot of our parents' generation went through some really tough times. They had high interest rates. They, you know, had lots of other seasonal things that were happening in farming. And this generation is coming through, and we may not have seen that, but there's also the equivalent where we've got really high land prices and, like, you know, interest rates have gone up, you know, back to average, but they're having a big impact because what we're borrowing for land has been higher. And so, like, I think there's this real disconnect sometimes that happens between generations, but I find that this generation are the ones that are wanting to work on it because they don't want to carry the same stress. They don't want to carry the same drama. They also don't want to carry the same generational wealth patterns through to their kids and the next kids. So I'm finding that, like, our generation especially are the ones that want to break that because they want to create something new. And I think they're starting to realize, like, a lot of the farmers that I'm working with are either first or second generation farmers. Some are 4 and 5, but a lot of them in first and second generations know that they have to think differently. Like, they know they have to go about farming differently if they want to stay in farming.
Yeah, as a first generation farmer, I think that's definitely it. We have had to quickly realized that it wasn't just being able to do a budget, and that especially because we went through milk price clawbacks and drought in the first few years of owning our business, and we can't spend our life stressing. We can't be going to bed each night worried, because that's no way to live your life. But yeah, you've got to make these changes. So I think that leads us into debt, because I feel like mention the word debt and people just go, and it makes people, you know, have that little moment. And farmers, there's debt. It is just inevitable part of farming businesses. I know when we first bought our farm, you know, the amount of zeros on that balance sheet, that can have you tossing and turning at night. How is it, like, what are the impacts you see when farmers have a negative relationship towards debt, and how does that impact on their business?
Realistically, debt is what it is. Like, it's there to support us to be able to grow our businesses, and then what happens is, on top of that, we create our own meaning around it. So we create our own meaning as to what those zeros mean, and how, like, what happens is our mind will pull up everything around debt to make us feel the same way. So we're not only, and you would have found this too, Jess, like when you first took on your farm, is that what would have happened is your mind would have gone, oh, I've got debt now. Let me find all the things in our mind that I've experienced about debt And then that will make you react the same way about debt, which is, like you said, where it could keep you up at night. The farmers that have not no stress about debt, but they understand its role, they're really grateful for it, because for most farmers, they're not able to farm if they didn't have debt. Like if we didn't have access to, I call it support money. I don't call it debt just because of that negative connotation to it. But I call it support money because it's there to support us. So when farmers know that it's there to support us, they're not just going out willy-nilly and going, whoa, this debt's great, I'm just going to get more and more support. But the thing is, when they're really choosy about that support, they know that it exists, they're really calm about it, then their mindsets go to, how do I keep enhancing my income so that my debt is paid for or my support is paid for? And the relative stress isn't there, the focus isn't there. So their focus is in on an expanding phase where let's make the most of our business, because I know that in turn means that our debt's more than covered. But then on the other hand, you get people who have a really negative relationship with debt. It's really hard. It's really stressful. There's a lot of worry about it. There's a lot of pressure about it. And the focus for them is on debt reduction. And so they'll do everything to conserve and save to pay off the debt, but then they're missing the expansion points in their business where they're able to expand their income to utilize the debt and, you know, make it even better for them. And the thing is, we get what we focus on. So if we're focusing on debt, then what we're actually going to do is get more debt. Like if we've got worry and stress and it's a real negative association, then we're going to always get more debt, because that's just where our, you know, focus and attention goes. That's what will happen. And like I said, on the contrast of that, when we are really at peace with debt and we're expanding our income, and that's where our focus is on, we'll always get an expansion of income because we're not actually putting the negativity in debt. So the view that we have around debt as farmers and the way we choose to give meaning to it and take it on will absolutely influence how that'll show up to us in kind of physical reality. And we've only got to look around us to other farmers and see the ones that are really quite comfortable with it and the other ones aren't. And the other part of that is it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a numbers thing either. So I've got some clients who they might have $50 million worth of assets and $1 million worth of debt, and that keeps them up at night. And I have farmers that have a $50 million asset base and they might have $10 million worth of debt and they're completely comfortable with it. So it's just the association and the meaning we've given to that debt as to how it's going to show up to us and how we're going to be able to function in life because of it.
Mm. I know, like for us, we just purchased another property last week and it was such an easier process than when we first bought this farm, because we've grown so much with our money mindset. And it's that exact thing. We see that we can scale, we can invest the money, we can leverage that debt support money, I really like that term, to help us grow the business and actually increase our cash flow and everything like that. Whereas I think before it was very much a, yep, we've got this debt, we need to pay this much every month, and that's the first thing that has to be paid. And that was the focus, rather than saying, okay, but how can we grow the business? How can we use that to our best ability?
Yes. And I think you bring up a really good point, is because everybody has, let's call it like a barrier of thinking, I'll call it, around money. So when you first went into farming, what happened was you went from, let's say, zero to all of a sudden having lots of zeros on a page. And our mind isn't like ready, not so much ready, but our mind isn't primed yet that amount of number is comfortable. So, and then as you've gone through farming, what's happened is you've just got more and more comfortable with those numbers, and it's become more safer for you inadvertently. Your nervous system feels safe about it. And then what's happened is, like, you go into your next farm and then you're like, ah, oh, this doesn't seem so bad, because what you've done on the outset now is you've actually primed your mind to know that it's okay and to comprehend those figures. So it's like, you know, there's the whole, like, the people winning Tats Lotto kind of, you know, example, which I think is really good, is that a lot of people who win Tats Lotto don't really have a lot of money. And then all of a sudden they go from zero or not much money to someone giving them $1 million, $10 million, or whatever that is. And then within 5 years, they'll actually be back to the same place or a worse position than they were before they even got the $1 million, and their life might be even worse. And it's because, like, their mind or their, well, their mind especially isn't primed to hold that much money yet. So unconsciously, it actually comes as it comes across as unsafe. And so they'll do anything to give it away so they can get back to a point where it actually feels comfortable. Like, it's actually more uncomfortable to have that much money when you just get given it like that. So a lot of the work I do with farmers, especially I've had a couple of people who have been working with energy companies and things that, unfortunately, you know, it's gone down the path where they don't have a choice, but they're able to, you know, they're getting massive payouts, and it's been actually priming them to be normal so that that money, it could be $1 or $2 million just literally dropping into their bank accounts. We're actually priming them for that so that when that money drops in, it actually feels normal for them. So that they don't do the farmer thing and be like, "Whoa, we've got $1 million. Let's go and like spend it on a tractor or a header or something else," like just to unconsciously get rid of it. Let's get it in. Let's make it feel normal. And then from that point, you can actually make a non-emotional choice about where you invest that money. So a lot of the work too that I'm doing then is too, it's not just unblocking the flow of money and helping people work through that. It's also then allowing people to hold more money. Like allowing people to feel safe that they're able to hold more money, because I think we've got a scarcity mindset about it. A lot of people have got a scarcity mindset, but then there's also society conditioning that comes over that we're not meant to have more than we need. And if we want to have more, we're greedy and things like that. So most people who go through the money mindset process and get to the point where they're changing their mindset, they'll get to the point of overflow or nearly at overflow, and they'll stall because there's then a reconditioning that needs to be done about holding an excess of money or an overflow of money, because it's not something that's traditionally seen in farming.
Yeah, I think my husband needs to work at that one, because as soon as there's, you know, money left at the end of the month, he's like, "Oh, I've got a project for that. I can go spend that." And I'm like, "No, it can just sit there. It can stay." But he's like, "Yeah, no, we need to do something with it."
Yeah. And it's just that whole, like, it's like, you know, that's money's burning a hole in our pocket. It's like, because in farming, it's like, oh, we need to utilize that because we don't know when the next excess is coming in. So it like puts us into a place of lack, which is that, you know, up and down in farming where like, oh, we've got to spend it when we have it, because who knows? When we're really confident in our business model, when we know that there's ups and downs, but money flows in, we get to choose to utilize that in a different way, knowing that even if that money comes in or goes out, there's more to come in.
Mm.
Talking of husbands, we both run our businesses with our husbands, and I think that's a lot of family farms. You've got the husband and wife team there. What happens when they have different relationships with money? Like, how is it impacting the business, impacting their relationship? Like, how do you see this play out?
Yeah. And I think a lot of the time we will marry our opposites. Especially, I've seen a lot of this around money. Like, you have someone who's very conscientious with their money, then marry someone who likes to just spend their money. And you see it so much. And I think it causes friction and it causes frustration. And I think money is probably one of the highest in farming businesses, especially with family farms and husband and wife teams, that causes arguments and causes stress, like in the relationship and in the family. A lot of the time, it's a getting to an understanding. So it's like, A, being able to identify that we've got our money mindsets at play when both of us are making decisions around money. And then it's coming from an understanding of where that is actually coming from, like what's driving both of our behaviors and our conditioning around that. I know, like, my husband and I are very different, and we're always at different levels in terms of how we're working on our mindset. I know, like, sometimes when he's making big decisions on the farm, sometimes he has to remove himself from the process so that I can make a decision that's non-biased, because sometimes his emotion comes in about potentially, say, where we used to be at the start. And so now we're making bigger decisions like buying brand new tractors and things like that, that all of a sudden they seem big for him. So sometimes we have to take the emotion out of it and, you know, we make it a business decision. He finds a tractor, I do the money side so that we can come to it from both from a calm place. It's understanding how each other ticks around that and then being able to work through with both parties to make them feel comfortable in order to make a decision.
I know we're like that. Like my husband comes in and he's like, yeah, where this is my new idea. It's going to cost this much money. And I'll sit there and I'll hammer him with questions and go, so what about this? And what about that? It's not from a negative point of view. It's literally just exploring all the options. And that's why he does it. He comes in and says, come on, shoot me down. Tell me what I've missed. And I think that team element really works because, you know, then it'll often pop up with something and we go, oh, I didn't think of that. And, you know, sometimes it will be that, you know, there's something in his idea that didn't work, or sometimes it's just that we need to take a slightly different direction. But understanding, like, you know, if he had that negative mindset, he could easily just come in and go, I don't want all your questions. This is the idea and this is what we're going to do and I don't want to hear it. But we're both very open to getting each other's opinion on it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And we're exactly the same. I think that's our aim, to get to that point where we can both have those conversations. Like you said, not from a defensive space. And it's very interesting because sometimes, like, there is a lot of defensiveness that comes up around money. And the thing is, like, I would call that a trigger. So when you feel like you're getting defensive about money, you're triggered about money in some way. And that trigger isn't actually coming from the scenario that's right in front of you. That trigger is coming from a place in the past where you had an emotional reaction to an event. We then aren't coming to the conversation with, say, Jess today, who's got all this going on. We're actually reacting from Jess in the past, where you had some event that just caused an emotion to stick. And now every time that comes up with money, there's a trigger around it, which is where, you know, potentially we get defensive from it. So it's understanding that they're a really good part of money, but they're really uncomfortable too, because nobody wants to deal with them. No one wants to deal with the discomfort.
What's your advice, I guess, for couples that are at these sort of different viewpoints? And especially, I think I see a lot of, like, women that marry into farming families and have a very different mindset to, say, their husband and their in-laws. How does that play out?
Yes. Yeah, it's so tricky. And I think it's just having open communication, especially with your husband or wife or partner, whatever that looks like. I think having open communication around money for starters, and if you find that you can't have open communication together, potentially having someone come in that's able to do that for you. Because if you can diffuse the kind of, I don't know, like frustrations or the loggerheads around money, I think that's a great thing, because otherwise we're not working together in alignment, we're kind of working apart. When it comes into family farming businesses, it's a whole different kind of level, because we're then acting in different generations, and then we're also acting obviously from the person that comes in. But I think what's really interesting, and I find, is that a lot of the, let's say for example, I'll use wives for example, especially, like when they're coming in, sometimes the family's seeing them as rocking the boat, especially if they've, you know, married in or they haven't come from farming. But what there's a lack of probably understanding around the fact that these women are coming in and they're potentially giving up outside roles in the business, or they're giving up a career or something to come in onto the farm. And then all of a sudden they're in a situation where they don't have control of their finances anymore, and they would like some security and peace around that. And I think it can seem to the older generation like they're rocking the boat, or they want, you know, they want more from the farm, or what that looks like. But it's actually not. They're just trying to find their own security in themselves so that they know that they're okay regardless of what happens. And I think sometimes it can get misconstrued. So if we can have understanding between all the generations, and I'm finding this in a lot of families I deal with, they are much more open than the normal in terms of talking about this thing. But a lot of the time, the resources and the tools and the experience that those wives are bringing into the business, like, is really, really valuable. So I think, like, there has to be understanding from both generations, but I also understand that sometimes, most likely, that's not existing at the moment.
Yeah, I think that succession journey is one that I'm very glad we didn't have to do. Because it just
seems, yeah, me too.
So hard. a really good point is that, you know, you've got these women that have given up careers that may be very different from agriculture, but they bring so many skills and things into the business if given the opportunity.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Yep. Today I am sitting here. It's a very hot and sunny day. So the weather and the seasons and how they impact things, because I think your part of the world is probably looking a little worse than my part of the world at the moment too.
Yeah, it's a little bit dry. It's actually raining here right now.
Oh, how nice.
Opposite to you. So, yeah, it's raining here, although we're in the middle of harvest. So, could be better timing. Could have been, you know, 3 months ago. Would have been fantastic. But
yeah.
But in the end, the weather doesn't know we're making money off of it.
Mm.
So, we're working really with the seasons. And I think a lot of the time we're resisting the seasons. The mindset that we take through these kind of seasons, especially the challenging seasons, are the ones that set us up to either come out of this thriving or come out of it kind of trying to peg our way back.
Yeah, the weather just plays such a big part. And I know for us, when we came in, we'd only been here a couple of years when we hit a, you know, 3 year long drought. And it was hard. And I think that part of it too is the emotion that comes in farming. Like, I don't feel it's like any other business in that sense. Being able to put your emotions aside and say, yes, you know, this is our land and our livestock and our crops, but then at the end of the day, it's a business. How do you see emotions playing into this?
Yeah, emotions are high because farmers invest their blood, sweat, tears, and money literally into this. Like, all of their identities in farming, everything's associated to farming. So it's very easy to make it mean something about them. So like emotionally, it's high. And I think too, we'll very easily remember the years that are like this because they have a really big emotional imprint. And for most farmers, they're not dealing with the emotion that comes up around these years. So we'll then roll into another year because everything's a cycle. We'll all roll into another year at some point in time that's the same. But then we go with the triggers and the traumas that come from the other times that they've gone through that as well. So this is where, I suppose, mentally and emotionally it builds up. But if we can remain neutral in emotion as much as we can, and by neutral it doesn't mean numb. By neutral it means we're not holding on to emotion and we're not blocking it and resisting it. So say, for example, like this year's been a roller coaster for us. And I'll admit that I've had moments where even though my mindset's really good and I can see things really objectively now, there's still times that the weather isn't playing out or yields aren't potentially as you would love them to be. But I'm able to allow that emotion to flow through. Like I'll have my moment. I'll be like, I just need 5 minutes to be like, huh, have my cry, have my frustration, have my vent, whatever I need to do. But then I just keep going and then I'm like, right, we've got so much to be grateful for. We've got crops. We've got things to harvest. There are lots of people who don't. What's the opportunity in this? How can I learn from this? Because most of the time, the emotion's coming from a place where we're not ready for it. So it's like a lot of the emotion kind of is coming through because we either kick ourselves because we didn't do something or something's not playing out and we had an expectation around that. So it's like, if we can approach it from, okay, this is a real learning point for us, how do we approach this from a different perspective that when we go into another phase like this, we're going to be fully supported and we know that we're going to have this. What do we need to do about it? So if we allow the emotion to flow through, we can actually come from a really logical, neutral space. But if we don't allow the emotion to flow through, then what happens is it gets blocked and it builds on and builds on and builds on and builds on. And then potentially there could be a big kind of breakdown if that happens. And then that's when it has a bigger impact on family farming and life.
It makes me think of like when you've got really young kids and you're teaching them emotional regulation and how they've got to have those big moments and that it's okay to have those moments to let it out because you'll feel so much better after you do.
Yeah. You'll always feel better after you do.
I really like that point about how we can remember those years, those hard years, because I think like I listen to my husband and he'll sit here and he'll go, the drought of this year or the flood of 1990 and
yes,
how hammered in those are. And those are from his childhood. So like the impact and that real focus of those events that have carried through to his adulthood is really interesting.
Yes. Yes. I was talking to someone the other day, exactly the same as this. They're like, oh, remember the 82 drought? And we don't really have as much flooding as say what you do, but it was so different. And it's like, okay. And I turned around to them and I said, so tell me about the good years. When were the good years? And they sat there and they thought about it and they thought about it. And they're like, I actually can't tell you when the good years were. Like, oh, maybe like a couple of years ago were good, weren't they? Like, and they were trying to really try to recollect that. This is the thing. We have this emotional imprint, both positive and negative, because you think about the times that we have memories that something really brought us joy and we can go back to that because we had this really heightened, like fantastic, joyous kind of emotion that was added to those so we could remember them. And then opposite, you know, we have this emotional imprint where we have these emotions that we haven't been able to process in the moment. So say, for example, like you said, your husband back in the 1990 flood, he's feeding off his parents in terms of how they're reacting in the space. He's learning how to react in the space. So then he has an emotional imprint that says, when it floods, this is how you react. And so it's like your mind goes, oh, I have to remember that because I need that for survival in the future. Or that's how we deal with things. That's why we get that. And then when we come to the good times, then we just don't celebrate them enough because we're taught to be humble and we don't create the same emotional imprint to keep them in our memories. Because they only stay in our memories if we have an imprint, either like, you know, say positive or negative in terms of emotion. Like if your husband had a space back in 1990 for him to be able to process it the way he needed to, he wouldn't even remember the 1990 drought. He might be like, oh yeah, it was pretty wet that year, but he wouldn't have the same kind of, let's call it psychological attachment to that. So it's so interesting. So with farmers that I'm working with around money, I'm teaching them also to celebrate the good years and the good times so that you can remember them as an override to the ones that were bad. So you're getting this emotional bias that's telling you, well, there's more good times than there is bad. And good and bad, I suppose, is loosely termed because it's only good or bad if you make it so.
I think it's interesting as a general rule. I was having this conversation the other day about agriculture, how we're not good at sharing our story and we're not good at sharing the positives of agriculture. But if you walk into the local pub, you'll always get the, oh, it's too wet, it's too dry, the crops haven't grown.
Yes.
We're really good at focusing on the negatives. I think it's changing, but do you think agriculture does this more than other industries?
I think so. I think it does. And I had a client the other that told me yesterday, she's like, you know, I went to this Italian wedding and it was a really big Italian wedding. And she said, as soon as I said, I was clearly the only farmer in the room. And she said to me, as soon as she said to them that she was a farmer, they were like, oh no, you know, I'm really sorry. You're having a terrible year. And because they're in the mid north of South Australia. And so they've had very little rainfall, but she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, you poor farmers. And they were going on like this. And she actually said to them, no, we're actually in a really good position. We feel really good about this. Like, yes, the season hasn't been fantastic, but actually, you know, we've got lots of things in place and I'm really happy with how we're tracking. She's really positive about it because she's done a lot of work on her mindset. But I think it's very easy to see what you see in the media and then it's generalized as this is all farmers, but it actually isn't. It's probably a smaller proportion of farmers than the ones that probably are out there who are quite optimistic or quite, I don't know, looking at possibility about the season.
I know that we often get like phone calls from the dairy body and they do surveys of farmers every 6 months and that. And when we get to that question that says, you know, how do you feel about the outlook of the industry? And we always give a positive response. And the person doing the survey always seems surprised. And I'm like, I wonder what answers other farmers are giving. Because like, I don't think we'd be here if we didn't have a positive attitude about where we're going. Like, why would you be doing this if you didn't?
Yeah. And it's really interesting because you can pick out the people in your areas that have a positive attitude versus a not positive attitude. And you can see the correlation to the success of their business. Like plain as day.
Mm. That's so interesting. All right. Now, last question that I ask all my guests is, what is something you're doing for yourself at the moment to cultivate contentment in your life?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, I love this question. For me, it's about doing everything that I love or doing things that bring me joy and letting go of the rest.
I love that. Now, for all my guests that want to follow you, that want to dive deeper into this money mindset, where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at The Abundant Farmer and on Facebook at Hayley Grosser, The Abundant Farmer, or at hayleygrosser.com.
Wonderful. I'll put all of that in the show notes to make it easy for people to find you. Thank you so much for chatting today. I love these ones that take us off on a little bit of a journey and explore different ideas. So thank you.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's been fantastic.
Thank you everyone for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a screenshot, share it on your socials and tag me and Hayley. And I hope that you have found some information in here to help you cultivate a more positive money mindset. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Cultivate Contentment. I hope you found inspiration and practical tips to help you on your journey towards a more contented life. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing or following the podcast on your favorite platform. And don't forget to leave a review to let me know your thoughts. For more content and community support, be sure to follow on Instagram at Grounded Farmwife. Remember, you're not alone in this journey. Together, we can continue to cultivate contentment in our lives. Until next time, take care and stay grounded.